Full Guard Fight Radio.
Brawlbase.com. Thanks for jumping on as a sponsor. Brawlbase is awesome stuff, man. They sponsored us on Cage Fire Radio. They still do. They sponsor MMA Madhouse Radio. And they're just hardcore. They're all over MMA Madhouse, and we love them for it. So thanks, Brawlbase, for jumping on board with us.
Absolutely, man. Moving on, different things, doing different things here in Full Guard Fire Radio, and I definitely want to give a big thank you to Brawlbase. I couldn't be happier. I just found out very, very recently that they jumped on board, and I appreciate it very much.
We also want to say thanks to Gator MMA. They're a sponsor. We got a great partnership building with them. Going to talk a little bit more about that. Just a great place. I've been training there for two nights now, and they've been great to me. They love MMA Madhouse, and they're glad to have that relationship going. Real quick, let's jump right into this breaking news. Not that old. Ronda Rousey has officially been signed to the UFC, first female fighter. And with that, they also announced that the January Strikeforce event, which is pretty stacked, will be the final event for Strikeforce, and then they're closing the doors. So that's pretty big news. Just a year ago, Dana said women would never fight in the UFC, and now he's just signed the most notable, famous female fighter in the world. So gotta say, times change, people change, and I gotta say, Dana smartened up, and this is a great move by the UFC.
I agree that this is a good move for the UFC. I'm not sure how many women's fights they could put on. I think they could probably headline, a UFC on Fox or FX or something with Ronda Rousey versus Cyborg. But, other than that, I can't really see the women's division, being that spectacular. However, I think it's a good move, and I think bringing the women over is a smart business move for Dana, and that's what he is. He's a businessman. The final Strikeforce card is just incredible, man. If they could have put shows on like this all the time, they wouldn't be going anywhere. UFC would be looking up at them. This is a great card, man. But like Dana said, business as usual. We're not going to do anything with the Strikeforce. It's because they're going to continue to plot along. But we know that was tongue in cheek when Dana said that. And goodbye Strikeforce. It's become a monopoly, man, and starting to agitate me.
Yeah, it is. I can't say I'm happy about seeing it. And I don't know. I'm not crazy about watching the UFC take over all these events, fold them. You know, I understand with Pride. Pride was having lots of issues, and fighters were kind of leaving anyways. And you've got the rumors and stuff about like the Yakuza or whatever who was controlling a lot behind the scenes and just. Whatever was going on there, I get it, you know. But like, you know, World Fighting Alliance, WEC, now Strikeforce. You know, it's just, I don't like seeing that. I like to see a lot of major promotions really competing. You know, you got like the Maximum Fighting Championships. That's phenomenal. They're one of the biggest in the world. I don't see them going that way. You know, Mark Pavlich is a real strong character guy, and I don't see him. Giving up and folding to somebody like Dana White. Same with Bjorn Rebney. I don't see that happening with Bellator. Bellator has great success, you know. They lack the fighter depth somewhat that, like, the UFC does or whatever, but it's just Bellator does great things. I love the tournaments that Bellator does. I think that's the best way to determine a number one contender. So I hope that you can get these major promotions to stick around and stop folding, you know. It's just kind of getting a little old, in my opinion.
I got to be honest with you. I think Mark. I'm sorry, Carl. Go ahead, Brooks.
No, not important. I was just thinking. Just popped into my head. I wonder when they're going to announce the first season of Female Tough.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good point. And to be honest with you, I think that would draw some good ratings. To be 100% honest with you.
I think it could revive the series myself.
For the first couple episodes, at least, until people are like, okay. And especially, unless they have hot chicks on there, you know, people, there's going to be different people watching it for different reasons, you know. What I was going to say is I honestly think that Mark Pavlich would start the NFC on fire before he ever sold it to Dana White. I really believe that. I don't think he'd ever go anywhere. I will say this, the casual fan, you know, just who the cross promotions when Brock Lesnar was in, you got the wrestling fan to come over and watch. The casual fan knows MMA as UFC. I've talked to numerous people when they say, yeah, I love UFC. And then we talk about it, and they think MMA is UFC. So, until you can really turn that page, you know, you're never going to have promotions that are going to be, you know, side by side. The UFC is always going to be king until, I think, forever, to be honest with you. Let's call a spade a spade. But, I think if Mark Pavlich and the MFC and Bjorn Rebney and Bellator can just status quo. I don't think they're going to go anywhere. And I think you'll put a little pressure on, but I think they're just going to be feeding grounds for the UFC.
Yeah. Back to what you said about the Strikeforce card. They don't even have it fully filled out yet, but from what they do have, and it is stacked. You've got the Rockhold Larkin fight is going to be great. Cormier against anybody. I just love watching Daniel Cormier fight. You know, we'll be talking to Tony Johnson later, and his only career loss, professional loss, is from Daniel Cormier. So maybe talk to him a little bit about that. Then the Melendez-Healy fight. The one thing, you know, with that Strikeforce, and yeah, a lot of the divisions had kind of gotten weakened because guys had already taken off, you know, guys vacated the titles and gone to go fight in the UFC. There are still some big-name fighters licensed to Strikeforce. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens to those guys, you know. You would expect somebody like Daniel Cormier is getting picked up by the UFC right away, Luke Rockhold even, Melendez even. The thing is, you know, what about a guy like Nate Marquardt? You really think – I don't know that the UFC is going to give him another shot. I know he did just come in and get the title in his first fight in over a year, which was a beautiful KO victory. But I don't know that a guy like him is going to get another shot in the UFC, and it – from there it pans out. You got still a decent amount of Strikeforce fighters that are. We'll see what happens. So I don't know. It'll be an interesting few months there between the UFC and Strikeforce. But like you said, you know, I work with a guy who started talking with him and was like, "You're an MMA fan?" He's like, "Yeah, I love the UFC." And I was like, "Well, what about MMA?" Like, he's like, "Yeah, I watch UFC all the time. Every now and then I'll watch a Strikeforce card." I'm like, okay, that's not MMA, man. And I start talking to him, and then he comes out with it, and he's like, yeah, I just kind of like just to watch UFC. And unfortunately, like exactly like you said, a lot of fans associate MMA as the UFC, and they don't associate it as much outside of that. And kind of a bummer.
Probably.
Great Great MMA.
I train
all
UFC.
Over the place.
What? Don't mess with me, man. I train UFC.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at my tap out shirt.
Yeah.
Cool.
Hey, man. Hey, there's nothing wrong with tap out. I got a couple tap out shirts. Tap out. Those guys.
Tap out used to be super cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's still...
I'm not as big a fan as I used to be. But.
So did parachute pants. Parachute pants used to be super cool, too.
did you ever have a pair
really,
in London?
I still have a pair. What are you talking about? I was that kid in high school.
This is the guy...
That got everything. I got everything when it was not cool. Like, I remember getting a silk outfit when, you know, silk was cool back in the day, but then... You know, it became really uncool, and that's when I picked it up because my parents could afford it then. So I still have a pair of parachute pants.
Carl, you're talking to the guy whose intro music is Vanilla Ice, man. So,
you guys, if I had walkout music, you wouldn't want to know what it was, probably. I used to have a really killer mullet.
Justin Bieber? Would it be Justin Bieber?
Justin Bieber, yeah. No, I don't think I'd sink quite that low, but you never know. I'll surprise you guys one day.
All right. Wow. Matt, before we move on here, I just want to say, I think Strikeforce, I think once UFC bought Strikeforce, the writing was on the wall, obviously. These guys are going to get scooped up, and I think it's going to give a shot in the arm to the UFC when, you know, like, I think Mark Hurt's going to go back. Mark Hurt's a great fighter. He just pissed Dana White off, and he's got a trigger. He's got a happy trigger finger. Melendez, you know, Daniel Cormier, I think he's going to really give a shot in the arm to the UFC. And the reason that people only know the UFC and train the UFC is because of the marketing. I mean, just the mass amounts of money. They probably spend more a year in marketing than, you know, than the MFC and Bellator combined has as a budget. You know what I'm saying? So I think we get oversaturated with it. So we know, you know, I know Rich Franklin, and he, you know, I mean, I knew Tito Ortiz because they just shoved him down my throat. So I don't know. I think it's going to be good for these guys that are in Strikeforce right now coming to the UFC. You know, we'll see. We'll wait and see how long.
I'm most interested to see what happens to Roger Gracie. I mean, he's my favorite current fighter. I just love watching him fight. I think the guy is an absolute, just phenomenal. And I think the last couple times the Gracie family was represented in the UFC, didn't go so well. You know, Henzo got TKO'd by Matt Hughes, and then Hollis Gracie Jr. got KO'd by Joey Belfort, I believe. And so I'm interested to see what happens. I think Roger Gracie would revolutionize UFC, and because he's kind of a whole new evolution to the Gracie tradition, and I think that he's the fighter to kind of redeem the Gracie name. And I know that, you know, the UFC, or I'm sorry, MMA has evolved so much since, you know, 20 years ago. And I think that it's gotten away from, although it hasn't lost its tradition, its heritage. And that heritage, in my opinion, is the Gracie family and what they brought to America and what they brought to Japan and what they brought, you know, everywhere they went. I think Hodger is definitely the evolution and the fighter to revive the family name, in my opinion. And there's more coming. You know, there's these younger guys. I know Gregor recently lost. He lost at World Series of Fighting 1 this last weekend, which we'll hear more about from Chris. We'll have Chris Gregory, Team Madhouse member, on with us to close out the evening, and he'll be talking about RFA 4 and World Series of Fighting 1. So. But guys like Gregor, Igor, Hollis, Hodger, and some of these youngest guys, Hannes Gracie, he's getting ready, Kira Gracie, when they're getting ready to really make MMA debuts, I'm really interested to see that. You know, I'm huge on the Gracie family. I keep up with a lot of what they're doing, and I'm really interested to see what kind of a deal, if any, Hodger gets with UFC and kind of watch him start cleaning out the division, in my opinion.
to I think to piggyback off that, I don't think the Gracie family and Dana White has the greatest relationship. I think you have to either A, kiss Dana White's ass and do exactly what he says, or B, be a John Jones and he can't get rid of you. Anybody else pulls that stuff from 151, they're gone. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't think any of his non-champions, I can't figure anybody else out. Maybe besides Kenny Florian or Stephen Bonner pulls that stunt and they're gone. With the path that the Gracie family has had with Dana White, I just don't see it. It's like Frank Shamrock never getting in to the UFC Hall of Fame, which really breaks my heart because the guy is a UFC Hall of Famer. He's never going to get in there because he refuses to kiss Dana White's ass. So, long-winded, I don't think Gracie gets a contract. I don't think any of the Gracies actually really are. I mean, if they get signed, they're not going to get the push that that they may deserve. But, hey, while I'm thinking about it, before we move on, how's Sam Selander? How's he doing?
I believe he's doing better. He's at home now, I think. He's been posting a lot on how he's doing. He's really dying to get back in the cage, and I know he's aware that that's a little far off. He's got quite a few months of rehabilitation before he can even think about training. But his spirits are back, man. He lights up Facebook with his humor. Dude's a character, and I don't think that hasn't been affected one bit. But as far as I know, he's at home. Just going through some rehab, just trying to get up, walk, and working on that stuff. So I think all is good there. We'll see if we can find out some more before next week and give a definite. But I've seen through Facebook that he's doing quite well.
Good. That's good to hear. I've been thinking about him a lot, and during the week, and I didn't know his status. So I appreciate the update, man. I really do.
Yeah. Well, we got some time here. We're having a little trouble getting hold of Charlie Gathers, stuff happens. I want to jump into some. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say that's live radio, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I was going to wait till later, but I want to go ahead and jump right into my last couple nights for me. I recently started training at Gator MMA, who I've talked about a lot and will continue to talk about a lot. I love those guys. They're really great to be involved with. They love being involved with us. We're going to actually dedicate the December 15th is the Global MMA Fight Championships first show, which is completely done and promoted by Gator MMA. We're going to dedicate that week, so the December 13th show, we're going to dedicate a whole show to Gator MMA, get Coach Daniel, Coach Lee on here, and talk with a bunch of the fighters that are going to be on that card representing Gator MMA. They're just great, great people. They talk about how the gym is a family environment, and it's just that doesn't even begin to describe it. They're just phenomenal people there. They're letting me train and learning, and when I say training, I've spent the last two nights, 3 hours yesterday, 2 hours tonight, being trained by Ethan Blevins, who's Daniel's son. Ethan is 7 years old. Okay, 7 years old. This kid, once a month, local Marine recruits come in to be trained by Ethan. It's 7 years old. He's a jiu-jitsu wrestling champ. He's won numerous amounts of tournaments throughout the nation. He's the first child to have a clothing line on Fear the Fighter. It just goes on and on. We talk about Jacob the Bull Brown here at MMA Madhouse a lot because, big fans of Jacob, and Skippy's always supporting Jacob and stuff. We support Jacob at MMA Madhouse. Jacob's nine. Jacob's actually supposed to have come in town tonight to train with Ethan. I was going to be out there witnessing that and taking some pictures and getting some stuff of that. Unfortunately, Jacob wasn't able to make it tonight. He should be definitely making it in tomorrow night to train with Ethan. The discipline. Now, I haven't met Jacob. I interviewed him on Cage Fire Radio. Just a great kid. But I think you were on with us that night. I think, Jason, weren't you? The night we interviewed Jacob.
I don't remember.
I thought that you came on with us that night. I could be wrong. I thought that was the night that we had you as a special guest on Cage Fire. Maybe it wasn't. Either way, he's a phenomenal kid, Jacob is. And the last two nights I've had the chance to really get to know Ethan a little bit. And Ethan's 2 years younger than Jacob. Ethan's 7. Now, this kid, I come in to give you an idea of what he's like. I walk in tonight from – I get there from work tonight. I'm in my work clothes. I'm not in the door 5 seconds. Ethan walks up to me. He's like, do you remember everything I taught you yesterday? I said, yeah. He's like, all right, well, I need you to go ahead and get changed and start training right now, and I'll let you know when you can take a break. 7 years old, this kid. And I'm just like, this, the discipline that he has, you know, these Marine recruits that come in once a month, he does these up-down push-ups with them where he holds his positions, right? They, two or three of them, and they're passing out, they're falling out. You know, by 10, they're outside throwing up, and Ethan's like, get back in here, you know. We're in the middle of training right now, so it's just ridiculous the amount of training, and it's completely free will, you know. Ethan, at any time, you know, I was talking with him tonight in on one of the little mini breaks that he was letting me have, and he's just, I'm like, so you have fun doing this, you know. I ask him a lot of simple questions, just basically like what he likes doing the most, and it's just phenomenal. His knowledge, his extensive knowledge. Before I left, he wanted to show me that he could push his dad's minivan. This is like a 50-pound 7-year-old. It's just phenomenal, and it's great to know that MMA has that to look forward to in, you know, 15, 20 years. You know, to got kids like Jacob Brown and Ethan Blevins, really the first generation of child practitioners, you know, outside of like some of the long-term families and people that have been around it their whole lives. A lot of MMA people tend to get into it in their teenage years, maybe find it in their early 20s. They're not necessarily training from childhood, you know. I know Jacob's been training for a few years. Ethan started training at 5. It's just remarkable. The sport of MMA has a lot to look forward to from this generation of younger stars and younger kids that are getting into it and really learning at a young age and being able to do so much. You know, I was being taught an armbar by a 7-year-old. It's just phenomenal to see that and to know that, you know, in 15 years, 20 years from now, when he's dominating and winning all his fights, you know, it's just like, wow, you know, that kid trained me when he was 7 years old. So I can't say enough about the guys at Gator MMA and Ethan and Daniel, Coach Lee, the whole team they have there. You know, they're just phenomenal guys. And we'll be looking forward to partnering with them and being associated with Gator MMA for a long time.
I want my son to get involved in it. If I had Mario anywhere near it, if Mario and Luigi were anywhere near it, my son would be all over it. But I can't, I mean, he'll sit down and watch fights with me. He'll, you know, we'll talk about it. But when I was training and I tried to take him to some of the kids' classes, he just wasn't down with it. The kids' classes where I went were bigger than the adult classes, which was incredible to me. And just to watch, you know, like I said before on the show, had I fallen in love with MMA years ago when I was younger, I don't know where I would be right now, but I absolutely support what you're saying, because these kids, 7 years old, 10 years old, what was I doing at 7 and 10? My son's only 6 years old, playing with Mario. He's not a tap-out Marine.
I was watching cartoons.
So, no, it's awesome, man. Very cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. It's remarkable. Coach Lee or Coach Daniel will be talking to me and showing me something, and Ethan will walk over and go, no, listen, I was teaching him this, and I want him to practice that. And they kind of just back up. They just let him go. You know, he's got this relentless desire to teach and to help others learn, and it's just his knowledge. You know, he's like, okay, I've shown you the 1, 2, 3. I've shown you the push kick. I've shown you the knee. What would you like to learn next? And I'm just like, you know, I'm like, I don't know. You know, you tell me. You're the one with all the knowledge. We actually have Joe Brown in queue right now. If we want to go ahead and bring him in and talk with him for a few minutes and maybe get to him to talk about Jacob and see what we have to look forward to if they're able to make it out tomorrow. So, Joe, how you doing, man?
Good. Is this Matt?
Yeah, man, it's Matthew.
Hey, what's going on, Matthew? Yeah, I'm Joe, Jacob's father. I apologize for not coming by Gator MMA tonight. Unfortunate circumstance, I couldn't make it, but definitely I'll try to make it there tomorrow night for sure.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'm looking forward to it. You know, I'll be able to be out there for a little bit tomorrow. Hopefully, you guys are able to make it, I'd love to be able to meet Jacob and see Jacob and Ethan go for a few minutes. You know, I've seen some video of Jacob, and I know that. I mean, if there's anybody who's close to his equal or who could give him a match. You know, it's going to be great to watch Jacob and Ethan go with each other. I don't know that there's many other kids out there that could compete with either one of them, so it would be phenomenal to see that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Officially, well, we initially came to Florida for Grapplers Quest over at, in Miami area, Coral Springs, and that was canceled, you know, just when we were on the way to the airport, I found out. So we just said, you know, we'll go to Florida and we'll make the best of it, and we'll see Grapplers Quest at the next event. Jacob was pretty upset he didn't compete, but so we would just you know, going by jiu-jitsu school so he could get some training in while he's here and just show him to a good time.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we definitely try to make it over there tomorrow at Gator MMA before we head back out. Got about 3 more days left here in Florida, so we'll try to make the best of it.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I know you've had the chance to talk with Daniel a little bit. They really are they're great guys, Daniel and Viet Le out there. They got a great team of fighters who, you know, they've got a lot of guys training right now for upcoming events. But at any time, you know, any one of their fighters, they drop what they're doing to help out everybody else. It's a great family environment, and it'll be great. You know, I really do hope that you'll be able to get out here to see that and to have Jacob and Ethan training together. It'll be a great for both of them, great learning lesson for both of them. They're both very knowledgeable and very skilled young men, and it's just going to be phenomenal to watch them kind of grapple and train together. So. Do definitely
sure.
Hope that you're able to get out here. Looking forward to meeting you and Jacob.
Sure, thank you very much. Yeah, for sure. We're about 2 hours from there, so it shouldn't be a problem getting out there tomorrow. We actually used to live here in Florida about 7 years earlier, and planning to move back up this way sometime, you know, in the year 2013. So we'll see how that works out. We might just join the family there at Gator MMA and get some good training for Jacob, you know?
That'd be great. I would sure that, I mean, I would almost positively say that, you know, they welcome you in 100%. They really are just phenomenal guys out there. You know, I met them a couple months back. At they held their own jiu-jitsu tournament just a month or two ago and met them out there. And
right.
Since then, I've just been building a relationship with them, and now I've begun training there myself, and I've been the last, like I said, you know, the last 2 nights getting trained by Ethan, and he's hardcore, man. He does not let me sit. You know, I'm like, man, I need to sit here for a minute. You know, this is day two. This is only my second day of doing this stuff. You know, he's been doing it for 2 years. He's like, okay, you can have a 1 minute break, and then he times me.
Yeah.
He carries his timer around, and I'm like just waiting for him to put the timer down so I can maybe hide it from him for a couple minutes. But
this would be a sight to see you know, Ethan and Jacob train together and become best friends. I mean,
absolutely.
Sounds good to me.
That's the one thing that that Daniel's telling me is that it's just Ethan's got people to train with. You know, there's people that he can train with, but there's nobody that can really challenge him. And Ethan really, like, the love of the sport. He loves to be challenged, and he really He likes that. So I think that's the best part. I could definitely see a great friendship bonding between Jacob and Ethan, really helping each other out, helping each other grow and be smarter and more knowledgeable in what they're doing. And that's a beautiful thing about this sport, that maybe 20 years down the road from now, they could compete against each other. But to
right.
have that friendship, you know, that's just a phenomenal thing to have that friendship. And really that's how this sport grows and continues, is to have young kids like that learning and training together and then growing up together and possibly, like, looking out for each other. And just that the familyness, the brotherhood is what the sport of MMA is so great.
Yeah, I agree. I just want to say thanks to Daniel for being so kind to me and my son and you, Matt. You guys are great. And like you said earlier, I was listening. I speak to Skippy Cohen over Facebook all the time. He's fabulous. Everybody's great. I have a lot of love for you guys and what you do. You support Jacob. You know, and it's just overwhelming sometimes to meet such great people. And I just want to say thanks to all of you guys. And just keep doing what you're doing. You guys are doing a great job. You guys love MMA, BJJ, everything. So it's all working out for everybody. And we're happy to know you guys. And hopefully we'll get down there tomorrow. And we'll let these kids have some fun.
Awesome. All right, man. Well, thanks for joining us.
Yep. Sure thing. You guys have a good night. Thank you.
Hey, you too, Joe.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, so that's he's a great guy, and his son Jacob's just really knowledgeable. So, yeah, I mean, if they're able to get together tomorrow, I'll be there, and then, you know, we'll be hearing about it. I'll be talking about it on the next week's show. I'll be talking about it long before then on my own Facebook page and through the Full Guard Fight Radio Facebook page. So hit those up and find out, you know, if it's able to happen. Another story, actually, this broke a couple days ago. The Real Fighting Championships out of Tampa, Florida here, unfortunately, had some multiple injuries to fighters and just had to make the decision to cancel their RFC 28 card November 17th down in Punta Gorda. So unfortunately, they had to cancel the card, and the next card will be I believe it'll be in January of 2013, and that's the latest news on that. Sean Hollis, a local fighter out of Banks MMA and Jiu-Jitsu, was the first that I saw broke the news, and then the RFC made it official. So hate to see that. I was really looking forward to being out at that card next weekend because they put on RFC 27 was awesome, and I was looking forward to being out there at RFC 28. So unfortunately, it's not going to happen, but I'll be looking forward to their January card, and looking forward to some other ones. You got actually, while I'm on that topic, this weekend is Clash of the Warriors 3 in Sebring, Florida. Gator MMA's got three fighters fighting out there. So check that out, GatorMMA.com. And then aside from that, we have the Global MMA fight card is going to be December 15th. That's going to be in Clearwater, Florida. And then Battle of Tampa 5, I'm sorry, will be November 30th. In Tampa, obviously. I'm sorry, Clash of the Cage Warriors 3 is the actual name of the event. That's this Saturday in Sebring, Florida, at the convention center out there. Rumble at the Renegade 16 is Monday, November 19th. That's out in West Palm Beach. Gator MMA does have a couple fighters fighting out there as well. And then, like I said, Battle of Tampa, November 30th. And then Global MMA Fighting Championships, December 15th. Bunch of local events. Also, there's Fight Night 51, December 15th. It's free admission if you bring a toy. I don't know that there's another MMA event that'll do that for you. So free admission to MMA. See a bunch of amateur MMA fights. Just bring a toy for their Toys for Tots drive. I don't think it gets any better than that, watching live MMA. So that'll be that same night. That's in Tampa, Florida as well, I believe. So, am I the only one here? Jason, you still with me?
I'm just listening to you, brother.
Oh, all right, man.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I'm still here. I couldn't, you know, I didn't want to interrupt you because we're on a little bit of a delay, so I didn't want to interrupt, but I definitely love the passion. You know, as a father, it's always interesting to, not yet. I'm holding back.
I thought that was, oh, Carl, man, you are, I thought that, I was like, dang, he is hardcore. He went right through that throw up, and he is still going.
No, not yet, man. It's always fun to see fathers take a lot of pride in what their son's doing. You know, I would love for my son to be involved in MMA. I'm working it, but, you know, hear Jacob's dad be, you know, so passionate about it, so passionate about his son. And, you know, that's really cool stuff, man. It kind of warms the cockles of my heart.
Yeah, I think you got to find the right environment for the kid. I'll put it that way. Like, I don't know how old your son is, but you just got to find, it's kind of all about the environment, I guess. You know, like, I know for myself, you know, and I'm 26, but if I was going into a gym for the first time, and everybody was just really focused on what they're doing and not really like welcoming, like I don't necessarily know if I want to be there. You know, from the moment I walked in Gator MMA, it's just everybody, you know, every single person comes over, introduces themselves. Coach Lee is taking me around, you know, this is Matthew, he's going to start training with us, he writes for MMA Madhouse, you know, introduces me a little bit, and everyone's just so willing to help and to learn. You know, I've had four or five different people just come up to me and say, you know, you're doing a really good job there, maybe do this motion a little bit. So it's all about the environment they're in, really. Like, I think even if your son doesn't have the interest in the sport at the moment, I think the right environment would change that. Being around people, maybe some other people that are his age, that are really just like an open, welcoming environment. I think that really changes the a perception, especially for somebody, especially for a kid, you know. So I think it's just all about.
I was just going to say, it's not a video game. The kid won't put his video game down, and it's driving me crazy. We bought him the CS a year ago, just for, like, car rides, things like that, because we lived a few hours from my parents and my wife's parents. And, you know, now he's stuck on it. But when I was up in New York, I mean, the guys at the gym that I used to take him to, I can't believe I can't remember. It's going to drive me crazy. They were great to him, and he loves being in the cage. He loves putting on the gloves. He loves hitting the bag. But when it comes down to, like, you know, sitting there and training, he's not down with it. So we're going to have I'm going to come on to take that away. So.
Yeah. While I was just, before we move on to anything, I do want to say, you know, I was going over a couple events that are coming on here in the area. Oh, actually, wow, I can't believe I didn't even mention this. Bellator 80 tomorrow night out in Hollywood, Florida. That's going to definitely be a great card. We'll actually have Jason London will be there live covering it. So MMA Madhouse will be live at the two straight Florida Bellator events. I had the privilege of being at Bellator 72, and now Jason will be out there at 80 tomorrow. And hopefully we can keep that streak going. Whenever Bellator's here in Florida, we'll have one of me or you out there covering it. And that'll be a great relationship to continue with Bellator. While I'm on the topic of the upcoming events, MMAMadhouse.com has a brand new section for you to check out upcoming events. If you are a promoter, if you know of a promotion, if you know of a fight coming up, you want the fight poster submitted, you want it posted on the best website on the internet for local MMA coverage, check out MMAMadhouse.com/upcoming-events. You can submit there. Carl has done you the favor of putting the email address to where you can submit your fight poster. Submit it. We'll get it up on the website. People can see what's coming up and get excited about the events. You know, right now there's a whole bunch of events listed here. A few of them are in this Tampa area. We got the XFC 21 December 7th. That's going to be phenomenal. Outside of that, we've got Complete Devastation 7 coming at you this weekend. That is a submit event at MMAMadhouse.com. And any fight posters you got, you want them submitted, you want Carl to review and put them on the site, just submit event at MMAMadhouse.com. I don't know if we're going to get Charlie Gathers on here with us this evening. I know he's got a busy couple days. We were going to try and get him. Whether or not we do, we want to say war Charlie Gathers this Saturday to Complete Devastation 7 in Altoona, Pennsylvania. He goes against Tyler Saltzman. I believe that's his pro debut. There's been a few months there of some trash talk from Tyler, and looking forward to Charlie teaching Tyler a lesson about running your mouth when you probably shouldn't be. So, war Charlie Gathers, man, get it done. Well, sorry if we can't get you on with us tonight, but war Charlie, man, you're one of our Madhouse fighters, and we're back you 100%, bro. So, we're going to move on here. We're going to see if we can maybe get Tony Johnson on with us. Be an exciting young fighter, recently signed to Bellator. I'm going to let you talk about him a little bit. You probably know a little bit more about him there, Tony, Jason, so why don't you go ahead.
Tony's been a friend of the show's, a show that I used to work with for a while, and he's a great dude. He's down here in Florida. He used to, I don't know if this is correct, but it says he fights with Ghost Wolf, but I'm not sure that's correct. That's one thing I guess I'm going to have to ask him, because he was with American Top Team, and then he moved to somewhere else, but I didn't think it was Ghost Wolf. But anyway, he's become kind of a friend of mine. I'm actually, when I go over to Bellator tomorrow, we're going to hang out, play some slots, play some roulette, maybe some cards. But I think, I'm pretty positive Tony had a fight signed in August that I don't see anything about, so I want to find out about that from him. 6-1 heavyweight, you know, he likes to bang. He takes it to the distance. I mean, the guy's got he's gone four decisions out of, seven of his fights. So being a heavyweight, it's not terrible. He's got some good stamina, power, you know, but.
Yeah, not at all.
Know,
I mean, his only loss is from Daniel Cormier. I mean, that shows, I mean, that's phenomenal. Like, Daniel Cormier is one of the top heavyweights in the world right now. And, you know, he's got, like you said, a 6-1 record, and his only loss coming from Cormier, you know. Bright future for this guy. Looking forward to seeing some big fights coming out of him. I think we got him ready, so why don't you go ahead and promo him.
No, I just, you know, very honored to bring back one of my good friends, Mr. Tony Jonathan Jr. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
I'm good, bud. Thanks for coming on tonight, Tony. I appreciate it. Last minute, you know, I hit you up yesterday, and you were like, absolutely, man, call me anytime you need. So I appreciate that, Tony. Thank you.
No problem. Of course.
Hey,
before we get going, I got to ask, man. I ask you every time, how's the dog?
The dog ran away, man. The dog is gone, man. It's just gone. I don't know where it is.
So, did we buy another one for the girls, or we were just nothing?
No, man. Next time I buy a dog, it's not going to be a lap dog. It's going to be an actual dog. So, not yet, man. I'm kind of enjoying, you know, the responsibility of not taking a dog to the bathroom. So, no dog for right now.
All right, man. So I had to clear the air, so. I see. Tony, are you with Ghost Wolf now, or is that
no.
Okay. I didn't think you were. Where are you at? Where are you training, Tony?
I'm with AKA now, American Kickboxing Academy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fight coming up? Are you training for a fight? What do you got on board?
Yes, I'm supposed to have something December 15th against Josh Burnett in Strikeforce. I'm still waiting on, I guess he had broke his hand against Cormier, so they were waiting for his hand to heal up, and they will just tell us more. So hopefully it's healed up so we can get something going, you know.
So you have a fight with Josh Barnett when he's healed. You're going to be fighting. Now, even with the Strikeforce, Strikeforce is going to be no more after January 1st. Have you heard anything
right
about this?
No, see, I haven't, and, you know, that's something I'm just worried about. I'm worried about, you know, Strikeforce folding, so. You know, I mean, that fight could be iffy, you know, but we have other options. So if it was iffy, you know, we have to just go to the big show and just, you know, they always have, you know, good cards and have good fighters there. So, you know, it may be just time to make that step.
All right, perfect. Go ahead, Matt. I'm sorry.
Hey, Tony, it's Matthew here. Thanks for being on with us. Like you said, I'm a little bit new to you. I've kind of looked through your profile and looked over you, and looks like you got a phenomenal record. One pro loss, and that's just to Daniel Cormier, which, I mean, there's no explanation there. I mean, Daniel, phenomenal fighter. And but I do want to ask, I'm a fan of King of the Cage. I've got a few of the DVDs, watched some of their fights, and know that they really they're really prominent and important to the rise of MMA here in America, you know, when a lot of people had kind of blacklisted the UFC and kind of turned their backs on the UFC, King of the Cage kind of like they were popular in the early days here in America, and still today they're putting on great fights. So I just kind of want to ask about your experience at King of the Cage and your time there and what you learned and took away from that.
Man, actually my experience was really good. You know, it was kind of my first. It's a smaller show, but kind of a big small show. You know,
yeah.
And just gave, you know, just showed me how things work there. And, you know, I mean, like, King Cage was a great promotion to fight with. You know, it's great for, they have amateur events, they have pro events. You know, they always treat me with respect. I do kind of think that my first fight, when I had a title shot against Tony Lopez, I think that they expected me to lose. I'm pretty sure, you know, I mean, who gives a guy a title shot coming into an organization like that? You know, with only three fights, and he was like on the 18 fight win streak. So to me, I'm like, you know what? I kind of proved myself. And after I proved myself, you know, I definitely did get a lot more respect. But you know, it's a good organization, and you know, I definitely suggest if you know you're starting out amateur or pro, you know, hit them up, and you know, because they have 100 shows a year all over the world.
Yeah,
you know, so
they do.
You can definitely do some traveling with those guys. So yeah, if you guys are ever, you know, in the unbecoming fighters that want to. A show that, you know, will give you fights, you know, hit up King of the Cage because, you know, they're definitely a really good show.
Tone, I want to ask you, you're a heavyweight. I'm looking at your record here, 6-1. You've gone the distance four times. What's up with your stamina? Is that something you really focus on when you're training, or is that just something that's come natural to you? You know, give me a little breakdown of your training.
Are you saying my stamina is bad? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying your stamina is incredible. He's gone the distance four times for a heavyweight, brother.
Okay, okay. I just make sure. I had to clear that up, man. I'm joking.
No, are you kidding?
Well, I mean, my training I've done has been a lot of cross training, so it just helps. It helps me. You know, if I need to go distance, I need to go distance. And I definitely grind. But you know, I've always had good cardio. You know, from high school going up, I always did track and wrestling. You know, and my cardio's been great because I push myself like a smaller guy, so I'm able to push a faster pace to these bigger guys that can't keep up. So my stamina has never been an issue. You know, and actually take that back. My last fight, when I fought, I can't remember his name, was June in Bellator. I didn't have a really good camp.
Derek Lewis.
Yeah, that's it, Derek Lewis. I didn't have a good camp. You know, I just, everything didn't click for that camp. That was probably my worst performance. But, you know, I just, like I said, you got to have a team, man. You got to make sure that, you know, your management's in line, because all that can be an issue during training camp and can affect your fight, you know. And that's what happened to me. I was kind of firing my manager, and, you know, it was just a big, just crazy ordeal. But now I'm with AKA, you know, I'll do my training camps there, and I'll be in 10 times better shape, because I'm training with Cain Velasquez and Daniel Cormier, Todd Duffy's there, and, you know, and when the good thing about AKA is when you have a fight, they take care of you. They make sure you're getting your training in. So, you know, they would throw Cain there for one round. They'll throw Daniel in there for one round. So, and I'm, you guys have never sparred with Cain, but Cain is not easy, man. Cain, his cardio is ridiculous. And you can push a pace, and then Cain will push a faster pace. So, like, when I first time I sparred with him, man, I almost died, man. I went two rounds, and that was it. I'm like, man, I can't go. Dan was like, actually, man, he said, hey, man, you did pretty good, because I was only able to go one round. I didn't feel too bad. But, you know, Kane's a beast, man. That dude's a monster.
So wait, you're telling me that your last fight against Derek Lewis, you had terrible cardio, you had a terrible camp, you win via decision, so you go 15 rounds with this dude, you have terrible cardio. Let me explain terrible cardio. I walk from the bed to the bathroom, and I'm wheezing. That's terrible cardio.
man, I just thought... You know, I'm used to, I didn't grind like I usually do. I can grind out. I'm throwing punches. I'm making you tired. And I was kind of wrestling a lot of that fight. So, to me, because I know where I need to be, or, you know, where I have performed, that wasn't a good fight for me, you know. But, hey, man, don't worry about it. When I'm not in training camp, man, I have trouble walking the steps, too. So, we're good.
All right, fair enough. What happened with your manager and things like this? It's kind of an interesting spot for me, because it's something I'd like to move into maybe in the future. If you can talk about it, maybe you can't talk about it. I don't know the legalities. But
it's nothing. No legal issue. I mean, I'll give you the short version. You know, but it's still kind of long. But basically, you know, he was taking a big percentage, and this wasn't putting out what he said he was going to put out. It was like taking 25%, and he's a good talker. You know, and he was saying, hey, give me this, and this. And 25%, if you're getting a lot of money, is nothing. It's nothing, because, you know, if the manager's grinding for you, you know, he expects some payback. So I was like, okay. But he wasn't grinding. Came time to get sponsors. I got more sponsors than him. And he wanted me to give him a percentage of that. I'm like, man, you didn't get this. You know, like, if I'm doing your job, why do you get percentage of what I'm doing? I'm not so supposed to be doing this, you know. So, and then on top of that, then he put his logo on my banner, and it didn't pay for it because it was a apparel logo, apparel logo that he had, his new line coming out. And then on top of that, then he tried to screw me with the money. I'm like, man, you know, I'm like, almost had to choke this guy, you know?
Yeah.
Like, don't make me go spree well on you.
I can imagine. I mean, I don't know how many people that like getting punched in the face when they're not getting paid for it. But when you're getting paid for it, it's a little bit easier. And if, you know, he's taking 25% of that and not doing his job,
right.
I don't blame him.
Right.
Yeah, I don't blame.
And another thing is, the funny thing, I told him, while, like, you know, we need to restructure his contract. So after the fight, because he knew I was going to, you know, just kind of throw him to the side, because his first contract wasn't really binding. But so he tried to get me to sign a new contract. He said, okay, 100% is, I got to take it to the post office. he's like, it's the same one, same contract, but just a shorter, like a less percentage. So I look, I'm like, no, I'm not going to sign it. I've done a lot of signing without checking out things. I'm not going to do that. So I go back, and he changed so much of stuff in the contract, said he could sign for me. He can, let's see, if he wants me to fight somebody, he can sign off of my name. Let's see, if I had apparel that, let's say my wife, was, selling, he would get a percentage of that. It was just so snaky, man. You got to be careful with these managers out here and make sure that you guys are, these fighters getting taken care of. And, you gotta ask, the veterans, hey, man, you have a management that's, that you trust, because there's so many little managers that pop up and, they're trying to take the money of these fighters and they're not making much anyway,
right.
It's not fair. So these fighters got to be careful.
To be honest with you, Tony, that's something that I really, that I'm really interested in is becoming, I would like to get into that aspect of the business side of it. I love that aspect. And, I've talked to a bunch of people. I've had a chance to talk to Mel Kitao and Ken Pavia and, guys like that. And they are fast talking. They can sell me a car in a second. And I'm just like, I don't want to be that guy. I want to be somebody that I can, I can sit down with your family, your wife and your kids, and,
exactly.
We can have dinner together. So, AKA, you're over at AKA now. What are we doing over there? I know you're a wrestler. I know you got great cardio. What are you working on? What's Daniel Cormier teaching you to?
Well, man, I signed with AKA about a year ago, last September. Cormier had brought me out there and said, hey, man, you'll be a great addition to the team. I came out there. They put me against Kane to see, to see if I was man. If I was a man, I did really good. They signed me. I've learned, I've learned a bunch over there, man. I've learned one thing about Daniel, me and him, we'll go at it in the gym, we'll go at it because, he gave me my first L. I got to give him some practice too, If I can't fight you, I'm going to give it to you at practice. But anyway, we go at it. But one thing I learned about Daniel, man, and a lot of these AKA guys, man, when Daniel wrestles me, he's a grinder, man. He'll pull on your heads, just get you wear you out, make you tired. And I think that's one reason why he's a really good fighter, because he'll just grind you out until you can't go anymore. running the AKA, they have their structure is so good. Monday is striking. Monday's like sparring. Tuesday's wrestling. Wednesday is sparring. Thursday is marathon rolling, which is 10 rounds of grappling. And the structure there is really good. The team's really good. The coaches, they brought me in like I was one of the family members. And, so it's a really good, really good gym, and I'm really happy to be a part of it. Because I was with American Top Team, too. I didn't get treated like that, not until after I kind of made a name for myself, but AKA definitely is a good gym, learn a lot. And Kane, man, Kane's one of the most humble guys you'll meet. He helped me out. Some showed things I was doing wrong. King Mo, people think King Mo's cocky, but he's really not, man. King Mo is real down to earth, dude. And, he taught me a lot, too. And the Muay Thai there is just great. And they have a weightlifting program that's great. So just a lot of great things there.
I got to ask, as a fighter, when you get beat by somebody, in your pro record, you've only been beaten by Daniel Cormier. Now, to be beaten by him and then to join his team, training with him, is there any kind of, within you, is there any type of, resistance, or, a hesitation to teaming up with somebody who's beaten you, or is it just kind of,
go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. If you're ready to go, go ahead.
I was going to say, I've been in sports my whole life, so taking defeat, of course I don't like to lose, but, any good winner, can take a loss and could dissect it and see what you did wrong. So, me and him, I go at it, I learn from him, so I'm never hiding anything, because I know maybe eventually down the road if I stay undefeated and he's on his little win streak, that'd be my only loss, that'd be a big money fight, but that's way down the road now, for me as a partner, for him, helping him get ready, prepare for a fight, me holding things back is not really helping him prepare, where he needs to go, and vice versa, so we don't care, man, and we may fight, we may not, but we're still training hard and trying to give each other good looks and things like that.
Absolutely.
Like I said, man, Daniel's the one that brought me in the AKA, so, he's like, man, he told me, he said, until Josh Barnett, he was like, man, you were the toughest guy I fought. Because, if you watch the fight, man, I took it to him. I took it to him. I remember he said to me, he said, man, don't. I was scared. He said, if you would have barked, I'd have walked out. We were standing there staring each other down. He's like, man, if you would have barked at me, I would have walked out. we need to take care of each other.
I got to think that it's been great. You know, you've been, like you say, you've been training for the Barnett fight. Now, whether that's going to happen or not now, I guess that's up in the air because Strikeforce really everything's really questionable with Strikeforce right now. So, but I gotta admit, I gotta believe that with Barnett being the opponent that's on the horizon for you, and until you hear otherwise, that's who you're training for. It's got to be great being teamed up with Daniel now and learning from him. He just came off of a big decision win against Barnett.
Right. No, definitely will, because he has a blueprint. He just did it. It's fresh on his mind. So, you know, why not pick the brain that did it? And definitely, you know, me winning and with AKA on my shirt, you know, we want to make sure every time we step in that cage, we're representing our teams very well. And, you know, so they'll give me the tools to make sure I'm ready.
Yeah.
I got to ask just real quick, how did you get involved in MMA? How did it go from wrestling? I mean, I know you're a wrestler. Is that kind of how it transitioned into MMA?
I played some football. I ran a football pro. And I kind of got tired. I was going to get picked up by the Bengals because Jay Hayes is actually one of the coaches for the he's the defensive line coach for the Bengals. He liked the way I looked. He's like, man, I just got tired playing football, so I want to do something else. I always wanted to kind of do some boxing. And when I was in Cincinnati, I had this instructor. His name was Rob Jones. So he came and he said, hey, man, you want to learn? I said, yeah, I would love to. So I just started doing some boxing, kicking, you know. And, of course, at first I was horrible at it. But, you know, I just started loving it. I was loving it. I was, you know, training every day, three times a day. I was like, man, I love it. And then one day it's like, you know what, I'm going to fight. And, you know, I did.
The wife, is she supportive of it? I mean, has she always been supportive, or is she kind of like, you know, I don't want you to get that pretty face all banged up?
Man, she's, you know what, I am too sexy to get hit, but I'm good. My wife, she supports me. You know, she has trouble watching me, you know, get punched in the face. My last fight, when I fought in Bellator, you know, she was pregnant, and she said I was put into early labor. So, you know, she supports me, but she definitely has, you know, it's kind of hard watching loved ones get punched in the face.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I was training a little bit, and my wife was like, man, I'm never going to be able to cover your fights because I'm going to crawl in that cage and try to beat somebody. So what happened? Just real brief, I know we only got a couple minutes left with you, and again, I really thank you for coming on such short notice, but what happens with that Strikeforce? Now, are you signed to Strikeforce?
No, you know, nothing needs even on paper yet, you know, and I think
okay.
I mean, you know, because, you know, my manager called me and told me, you know, he broke his hand, so, you know, we wanted that fight, and, you know, he's probably going to come to us, and, you know, since we don't know what's going on with Strikeforce, you know, there's not, we're just hopefully we'll have something here pretty soon, but I'll keep you guys, I'll keep you guys updated on it.
Before I let you go here, Tone, I'm heading over to, the Bellator tomorrow. I will give you a call on the road. I'd love to get together, maybe sit down and have a drink or play some cards.
That's cool.
You know, and then
one
of these days we'll get our families together so we can the kids can play. But let everybody know where they can find you on Twitter, on Facebook, whatever you got. Your sponsors, it's all yours.
Okay. First off, let me tell you guys, thank you for having me on here. I'm sitting here with my wife. She's watching Vampire Diaries, and I'm not really too fond of it, so I had nothing to do. So she's like, shut up. You're talking too much. Shut up. Well, anyway. But you can find me at Hulk Johnson, or my Instagram is Tony Johnson Jr. You can find me on Facebook, Tony Johnson. Yeah, Tony Johnson Jr. You know, right now I have what's my sponsor? GFY Fight Gear. Bonafide Tough Guy. Those are my main two there. That's it for right now. And hopefully, you know, and I'm winning more. You know, there'll be a lot more sponsors, like Nike or something. You know, come on, Nike.
That's right. That's right. I expect to see you with like one of those banners with like, you know, just hundreds of little logos on there, because people are just gonna be falling at your feet, brother.
Man. So we'll keep working for that, definitely.
All right, man. Tony, it's good to talk to you, man. Hopefully I'll see you tomorrow you know, best of luck to you. When you find out what's going on with your flights, you give us a call.
Okay, I definitely will.
All right, man. So thanks. I appreciate it. But
thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Tony.
Bye. No problem. Thanks.
All right, Tony Johnson Jr., man, he's a great guy. He very candid, very, you know, very honest, you know, very humble. He's a good, wholesome family man. I have a lot of respect for Tony, and I've never even met him. I've talked to him a bunch of times, but every time we talk, it's about his family. It's about his, you know, his kids, his wife. You know, him and I talked for an hour, I don't know, maybe a week ago. Well, probably about 2 weeks ago, just back and forth on a Sunday afternoon talking football. Just, you know, he sent me some stuff. He emailed me some stuff I needed, and, you know, I couldn't be happier with him. He's a, you know, he's a great guy. He really is.
Yeah. Great. Yeah, I mean, I got to be honest, like, you know, like I said, wasn't too familiar with him before. I have seen him. I want to say I have seen a fight or two of his, but not very familiar with him. But 20 minutes talking to the guy, and I'm a fan. You know, I would definitely, you know, I'm not going to miss his next fight. Just a phenomenal guy, great guy, really great sense of humor. You know, I love that he called you out, you know, when he thought that you said his stamina wasn't good. I realized that I knew that you said his stamina was good, but I thought that was pretty hilarious that he called you out and just to see if that's what you were saying. So that was amusing. Sounds like a great guy, and definitely look forward to hearing what's next for him. And hopefully that Barnett fight happens. That'd be awesome to see him versus Barnett with Cormier in his corner, and hopefully he could knock Barnett out. I'm not a Josh Barnett fan, so I would like to see Tony knock him out.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely rooted for Tony. But I got to tell you real quick, the dog story. You know, when I asked him the first thing in the air, he's got two young girls. His children are two young, you know, they're young girls. And he was like, we got him this dog. And it was like the size of a cat. But Tony's a big dude. He's 6'4", you know. And
yeah.
They got this little lap dog. And he hated it. He said, I hate this thing. When I talked to him on the last radio show, he's like, I hate this thing. Every time, you know, it's barking, it's running outside, it's crapping in the house. I just hate this. So he was like, we asked him a question about if you could kill anything or something in the world, what would it be? He said, this dog. I would kill this dog. I would take this dog. So I was like, Tony, those are your girl's dogs. He's like, I don't care. I hate this dog. But he said the dog ran away. He never heard it. He never, ever heard the dog. It just ran away. So every time I talk to him, I'm like, how's that dog? I knew it was ran away, so I just wanted him to fess up out of
here. Real quick, we talked about that Strikeforce card earlier. Strikeforce.com did not have an opponent for Cormier listed, but SureDog.com, which isn't always the best for information, not crazy about them at all times, but they're listing Deion Staring as Cormier's opponent for that upcoming fight. So we'll see if that's true or not. Somehow I have the feeling if it wasn't on Strikeforce.com, it's probably not official. So, but I look forward to hopefully seeing it, if not seeing Tony in the cage fighting himself before that. Hopefully Tony will be in Daniel's corner for that event. That'd be great to see him out there working together. So yeah, that was, I just pulled that up on SureDog.com. I'm sorry. But yeah, they, so we'll keep an eye out on Tony. What's coming up with Tony Johnson and what's coming up with Daniel Cormier. Cormier is a great guy. I love watching that guy fight. I was really looking forward to the Cormier Frank Mir, fight. So it's a bummer that that's not going to happen. I know Mir it's gotta be a serious injury. Not the biggest Mir fan, but he is a warrior. And, I don't think he's somebody who backs out of a fight unless it's a serious injury. So.
Yeah. No, it's got to be a serious injury. I mean, unfortunately, we're not going to get a chance to see it, but, you know, it is what it is. So
We might get a chance to see it. I definitely think Cormier is one of those guys that's going to get picked up by the UFC. I think Dana White, you know, we go back and forth on Dana White. I think every true MMA fan has a love-hate feeling about Dana White, because you love what he's done and you love how smart he is, but you hate some of the decisions he makes quite a bit. I think it would be probably the dumbest mistake, one of the dumbest mistakes, if not the dumbest mistake, that the UFC and SUFA has made since Dana White took over, for them to not pick up Cormier. And in the event that I still think a Cormier-Frank Mir fight would happen, but it'll be sometime down the road a little bit under the UFC banner rather than the Strikeforce banner. So I think it's definitely a fight that we're going to see anytime.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to pick up Cormier. They're not going to pick up Gilbert Melendez. You know what I mean? Dana White is a businessman, and for him to make the most amount of money is his job. It's what he wants to do, and it's what he has to do. He needs to make the stockholders' money. So in order for him to do that, you know, he's going to sign these guys. So it's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
I'm very impatient, and I would have rather seen it, you know, sooner than later, but whatever.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Transitioning from that, we're going to have Marcus Aurelio on with us here in a couple of minutes. Just talk about him for a minute. Phenomenal, very extensive record. This guy has fought some of the who's who of MMA over the last 10 years. You know, he made his pro debut in June of 2002.
You're looking up the wrong Marcus Aurelio there, man. This isn't Marcus Aurelio that fought in Pride, and this is Marcus Lelou Aurelio. He's 6-2 as a pro, capoeira master. He just fought.
Oh, man. Well, thanks for calling me out there, Carl.
Clip last week of his highlight clip there, so just wanted to make sure everybody's on the right path here. I should have told you that earlier.
Maybe before we were on the air, possibly.
Sorry, man.
Okay, anyways, so... All right, so with that, I'm going to go pass it off to Jason, and I'm going to go sit in the corner and cry.
Brawlbase.com.
Had to get that
in
there.
I'm not going to lie to you. I love those. I really do. You know, I was just going to send you a message that I might have to tap out for a minute to go fire one off, but I'm good now. You swallowed it back down, and here we go. So, what's going on there? How long before we have Marcus on, Carl? Is he ready to rock?
About 3 minutes here. I'm just going to get him in queue, actually, right now.
You got it, man. I didn't know where we were standing. So I'm thinking about this whole Strikeforce thing. I know we talked about it quite a bit, Ronda Rousey, whatnot. I really don't care to see her fight anybody but Cyborg. I mean, I'm thinking about this, and I'm like, who can I, you know, how can I wrap my head around women's MMA in the UFC? And yeah, I guess I could. And Kyle's absolutely right. It's just a matter of time before, you know, tough women's division is on. And, you know, he's going to make money any way he can off Ronda Rousey. She's a pretty girl. She's got a great personality. You know, she's a great fighter. She spent about 45 seconds in the cage total. But I just don't think there's any more than Ronda Rousey Cyborg right now. I mean, you know, you get Misha Tate, okay. You know, and then after that, who else do you have? I don't know. I'm really sad to see
Kaufman. Yeah, I mean, she just beat Sarah Kaufman, but, I mean, that's the next – that's probably one of the next biggest names out there right now is Sarah Kaufman. You know, Gina Carano stepped away years ago, and there's no telling if she's coming back, she's ever going to fight again. But
even if she does, who's to say she's going to come back at her
weight class?
Previous self, even. But, you know, I mean, Strikeforce had to go away. They really did. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You know, the cards were so watered down, it was ridiculous. You know, you just had garbage. I mean, it's just one more thing that I won't have to see. Well, who does the play-by-play up there? Pat Miletich. I won't have to see him anymore, thank God.
Frank Shamrock. That's my personal, like, I'm not going to miss Frank Shamrock one bit.
But, you know, it had to go away. Strikeforce really did. I'm going to miss some of the fighters. We're going to see him in the UFC, but we're going to, you know, some of them are going to find new homes. But the women's division, I still can't wrap my head around it. I don't know how I feel about it. I guess I was just stuck. I apologize.
I think it's a work in progress. I mean, you look at men's MMA. You know, you watch some of the early Pancrase, Vale Tudo, some of those events that were going on 30 years ago. And at the time, people were saying, okay, you got, let's say, Hicks and Gracie won a few of the Valley Tudos early on, the late 70s, early 80s, something like that, right? At the time, you're thinking, like, wow, you know, look at this guy, Hicks and Gracie's phenomenal. Who's going to fight him? You know, it's the same situation now with Ronda Rousey. You know, women's MMA is really still in its infancy. For as much as progress as it's made in the last couple of years with promotions like Invicta, who I can't say enough about. I love Invicta, and they're doing great things for women's MMA. With promotions like that up and coming, you know, Invicta's coming up on their fourth card here soon. It's still in its infancy. You have a lot of female fighters out there, but you don't have a lot that have asserted themselves as true top-notch fighters yet. And that's no offense to any female fighters. I love women's MMA. I think it's awesome because the women, you know, to be honest, I think the women are a little hungrier than the men are for these wins and for these fights. So I do think it's a great thing. I think that it's going to take a little while to really build that women's division. But I think it's going to work. You know, Carl made a great point there with the a women's Ultimate Fighter season. You know, I can see if something doesn't materialize between Ronda Rousey and Cyborg, or even actually, I take that back. Have Ronda Rousey and Cyborg as the coaches on the inaugural Ultimate Fighter Women. Have them face off at the end. You know, do the same type of thing that you would do with the men's, but put Rousey and Cyborg. That's a great way to generate interest in women's MMA and the UFC to start off. Start off the first thing you do in the UFC with Ronda Rousey, and if you can get Cyborg, you know, she's coming off the suspension and stuff, but if you can get her, start them out right away as coaches on the Ultimate Fighter. That'd be a great way to bring it in. Look what the initial Ultimate Fighter did with Forrest Griffin, Stephen Bonner, and the countless names off that first Ultimate Fighter that are top-notch UFC fighters now. That's the best way to do it. That's the best way to bring women's MMA into the UFC, in my opinion. And I'm glad Carl mentioned that because it's a great idea. I think that it's going to take time, but I think that Zuffa has the best team for finding fighters. They, you know, they've got feeder promotions all over the place, and if it's not that, they've got people scouting. They're looking for fighters. You know, some young female fighters start putting good records together, and they're going to get noticed, and they're going to get chances. You know, you're going to have to sort out the divisions. Obviously, they're going to have to incorporate a lot of different divisions. You know, with the women's, you have like the atom weight, and you have like the junior flyweight and the straw weight and stuff like that. That a lot of UFC fans, the Zuffa Zombies, might not necessarily be familiar with, because they're, you know, I think Zuffa Zombies are just getting used to featherweight, bantamweight, flyweight. But you're going to see a lot of transitioning, a lot of change, and a lot of revolutionizing come into the UFC and into the mainstream MMA. I mean, Invicta's doing a phenomenal job, but they don't have the connection that the Zuffa does. So I think it's good. I don't think it's the best thing for women's MMA at the UFC. I think Invicta is the best thing for women's MMA, but I think it's a great thing that Dana White has actually opened up his eyes. And I'm being told right now, Miesha Tate is also signed with the UFC. That's confirmed today too. So right there, you've got two of the biggest names in women's MMA, and yes, they've already fought once, which was obviously an armbar victory by Ronda Rousey. You don't even got to think about that, but that's a good rivalry. That could be a great first women's fight. Miesha Tate, Ronda Rousey too.
We can't put all our eggs in the Cyborg basket because they're not even the same weight class. They'd have to fight at a catchweight somewhere.
Exactly.
You know, so I mean, we couldn't even see that fight until one moved up or one moved down. But I feel like Miesha Tate. That fight's gonna end the same way it did the first one, so I don't know, man.
That's the thing though. Like I feel like any Ronda Rousey fight's gonna end the way that they've always ended. I don't know. I don't think there's anybody yet that has been able to figure out how to defend her armbar. Actually, you know what? I take that back. This is gonna sound funny, but no joke. Ethan Blevins, who I talked about earlier in the show, 7 years old, has watched a few of Ronda's fights, and he himself taught himself how to defend against that armbar. Now, obviously, that would never happen. You don't know if that would ever be truly be tested. But he was telling me, and his dad was telling me last night, how he has watched her fight and picked apart what her opponent did wrong and said, you know, this is all you have to do to be able to defend against her armbar. So maybe whoever fights Ronda Rousey next should have Ethan in their corner, and maybe he could help him out a little bit, because I'm told that when Ethan is in the corner with somebody, he's usually yelling at them, this is what you're doing wrong, you know. Zenon Herrera, a local fighter here, he's part of Team Assassin at Gator MMA, showed up to a fight, one of his early fights, with Ethan, this 7-year-old, as his cornerman, and the ref and the people in the cage were like, you don't have any cornermen? And he's like, this is my cornerman right here. And they're like, no, seriously, you can't have the kid here. And he's like, that's my cornerman, and he's going to be my cornerman for this fight. And they were just kind of like, whatever you say, man. And as soon as the fight got going, everyone was just kind of blown away at Ethan, yelling, you know, get in guard, get it, move, you know, just, it's phenomenal. But that, I rabbit trailed quite a bit there, but I just can't say enough about Gator MMA. I love those guys, so I'll probably talk about them all the time. But back to what we're talking about, I feel like almost any fight we see with Ronda's going to end in some type of armbar, you know. Maybe not always first round, but no one yet has been able to figure out how to beat her or even get her out of the second round. I mean, her longest fight was against Misha Tate, and that's 4:27. Outside of that, nobody's taken her past the first minute. So, and that's pro or amateur. I mean, she's got six pro and 3 amateur fights, nine MMA fights, and 8 of them she hasn't fought longer than a minute. So, I mean, it's just insane. You know, if there's any woman that you want to start a women's division or women's, like, section around in a promotion, it's Ronda Rousey. Now, just start bringing people in and putting people around her and seeing who can do what. You know, it's going to be one of those things that probably for a while you're going to see Ronda tapping people out and submitting people. But eventually, every fighter meets somebody who beats him. You know, look at Chuck Liddell. For the longest time could not be beaten, and then boom, he was beaten, and from there people figured him out. Now with Chuck, it wasn't necessarily that hard to figure him out. He had like one of the worst stances ever. He never protected his face, but for the longest time nobody could, it didn't matter if he wasn't protecting himself, nobody could get in there to hit him. But eventually, you know, somebody came along, they figured it out, and I say that now, he wasn't undefeated, you know, whatever, but he had a very minimal loss record. He just got on this tear, and, you know, with Ronda, she's been on a tear since the first time she stepped in the cage. You know, she's got nine fights, 9 wins by armbar. So, it's, I don't know that women, men, there's ever been anything seen like that. So until someone comes along that we know can beat her, we're probably going to keep seeing Ronda armbar people in the first round. And you know what, is it predictable? Yes. But is it boring? Not at all. I want to see her. I want to see her armbar 100 people. If she armbars her next 100 opponents in the first round, I can never get bored of that. It's just, it would just be so phenomenal to witness that. And 20, 30 years down the road, as an old man, hopefully still an old man who's a much bigger MMA enthusiast and knowledgeable than I am now, I can say, you know what, I saw one of the greatest fighters ever, and no one could figure her out. So, I don't know. I'm excited. It opens up a lot of doors. I know I've been talking for a long time. It opens up a lot of doors by the fact that Dana has kind of put his foot in his mouth and signed Ronda Rousey, and from what I'm seeing now, signed Misha Tate. And I'm seeing with Chris Gregory, who we'll have on later with us. The dude is big. He's got so many connections. He's throwing out names that he thinks should be signed with the UFC, and hopefully Dana starts taking notice of some people, and we'll see what happens. They just opened up Pandora's box, and I think it's a great thing for women's MMA. I still stand by the fact that I think Invicta Fighting Championships is the best thing for women's MMA, but we'll see what the future holds for the women. It just looks phenomenal right now.
There's a lot there that I have to process.
I'm passionate about the women's MMA. I love it. You know, we got some fighters at MMA Madhouse, some women fighters that we sponsor, Amanda Bell, Amy Cadwell, and I really hope I don't mean to forget other names, but those are the first two names that pop in my head. You know, we interviewed Heather Clark a few weeks ago, who fights for XFC. I just think the women, I just think they're hungrier. I think that they want some of them, not all of them, because there's some, you know, obviously there's some male fighters out there that are just some of the most ferocious, hungriest fighters on the planet. But I think it's a beautiful thing because it's still in its infancy and it still has a lot that can grow and a lot that can come from it. So, but I'll shut up for a few minutes and let you talk, man.
I was just trying to wrap my head around everything you were saying because there's a lot of points that you know you make that are definitely great points because I think it did open up a Pandora's box. I think it is a good thing for women's MMA. I think Invicta is the best. I just think the only way they're going to make money off of this is if they just market Ronda Rousey. I don't think there's any other way they can really get around it because, you know, Ronda, again, she's a pretty face. She's easy to look at. She's, you know, whatever. I just don't think that enough of the casual fan is going to want to sit down to watch a 15-minute woman's MMA fight. That's all I'm saying. I think women's division is on the up and up, and I really think it's on the rise of Invicta. I hope Invicta goes nowhere. But, you know, I'm concerned, like we talked earlier, your average fan or Joe Public who, you know, buys the UFC, the pay-per-view buys are down anyway, so Joe Public who buys the UFC events because they know who Georges St. Pierre and Carlos Condit are going to watch the fight. But, you know, if you throw, you know, you throw Ronda Rousey and Misha Tate as a co-main event, I just don't think the numbers are going to be there. And, you know, if that's the case, it's going to set MMA back a little bit. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I agree with that because it is going to take a while, like you said, for the what do you call him, Joe MMA or something?
Yeah, Joe Public, I think.
Oh, Joe Public. It's going to take a long time for Joe Public, or you know, as some of our Madhouse members like to say, the Zuffa Zombies, to really catch on to women's MMA. I think they'll probably find it a joke at first, which is unfortunate. And I think some of the casual fans who will just kind of like overlook it, you know, that'll be their bathroom break when they get up in Wing House and they go take a piss and come back and be like, oh man, is the fight over yet? But, you know, it's going to take a while, but I think they'll learn. I mean, I've watched prior to watching Invicta 2, I've seen Invicta 1 and 2. I missed 3. I didn't get a chance to watch it, but prior to seeing those two Invictas, I hadn't seen much in women's MMA and hadn't been a fan of it, but I was neutral on it. I was just kind of like whatever about it. I knew a little bit of a couple names. You know, I knew the Gina Carano name. I had watched her. I liked her, and it was unfortunate to watch her walk away and pursue other things, but, you know, followed her heart with where she wanted to go. So, but prior to that, you know, I had known who Cyborg was. I didn't like Cyborg because she came in and beat Gina Carano, and I had a bit of a crush on Gina Carano at the time, so I wanted to see her win and see her be the best. But prior to the Invicta, that was my only knowledge of women's MMA. I didn't think that it was really an in-depth sport. And then pops up Invicta, who has all these women's fighters. And the best thing about Invicta is they stream their fights online. They know that they're going to have a hard time getting viewers in, and that it's really, like I've said a few times, it's in its infancy, and it really is. There's a lot to grow and a lot of growth needed for women's MMA. That's why for Invicta to come out, stream their fights online for free, you know, it's phenomenal. That is the number one effective way to bring people in to say, you know what, hey, whether you like it or not, it's free. Check out a fight. Check out two fights. See if you like it. And you know what? I did, and I loved it. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what happens. And, you know, look, I know that Dana, you know, we say this time and time, Dana's a businessman. Dana's a smart businessman. He does some stupid things from time to time, lets his mouth kind of go off, but that's who he is, and he doesn't change who he is. I think that's the best thing, the most respectable thing about Dana is Dana is Dana, and he's not going to be anything else but Dana, regardless of the stature he builds, and regardless of how famous or how rich he gets or how successful his promotion is, Dana is going to be Dana, and I love that about him. That's my favorite thing about him is he will not change who he is. He eats his words sometimes. Sometimes he makes himself look like a fool, but at the end of the day, I'm left going, man, the dude is so smart. You know, look what he did. You know, they took over, 12 years ago or something like that, 10, 12 years ago they took over, him and the Fertitta brothers. They took a promotion that was just about bankrupt and just about shutting the doors and turned it into a global phenomenon. You know, like he said he doesn't want to be the best image. You know, this isn't a quote, but it was something along the lines of he didn't want the UFC to be the top MMA promotion. He wanted the UFC to be its own sport. You know, he wants to build the UFC as a sport and not as the best of MMA. And although that's kind of a conflicting statement because, well, you are an MMA promotion, and I don't necessarily like that he wants it to be his own sport, but I'm glad that he's got that passion. We'll put that on hold. I think we have Marcus ready. So I guess we'll go ahead and jump in here with Marcus Aurelio, man. How you doing this evening?
Oh, I'm good. Thanks for the opportunity for the interview.
Hey, not a problem, man. I want to say sorry for I don't know if you were listening or if you've been busy. About 10 or 15 minutes ago, I was confusing you with another Marcus Aurelio. I was looking at the fight record and I was like, "Wow, man, 31 pro fights and all this," and Carl jumped in and corrected me. So I do want to personally say to you, I apologize for confusing. I honestly didn't even realize that there was a difference. So I want to man up and say sorry about that. But
no problem. That's fine. People confuse me all the time. We got the same name, right? Me and Marcus Aurelio, we both have the same name. It's just our names are different. And he's a specialist in jiu-jitsu. I'm a specialist in capoeira.
Okay. Awesome. You've got a 6-2 pro record. You just came off your first fight at Bellator 79, which was unfortunately a decision loss. But outside of that, man, you've got five KO, five KO victories, a submission victory, and then an early submission loss. But you're quite the finisher, man. You don't see decision. You've only seen decision once, even in win or loss, you don't see a decision very often. So what was it like getting your first decision and unfortunately it being a loss? And, you know, how did that fight go and what did you take away from that fight?
Well, one of the things that I overlooked into this fight was the strength and conditioning aspect of the training. I had a few problems. I was already set up for a few traveling capoeira seminars that I had to do in Africa and in Europe. And that kind of hindered a lot in my strength and conditioning training. We did a lot of technical training, but as far as strength and conditioning, I missed a lot of that. And I think that's the reason why I even lost in the split decision. Was no gas in the tank, you know, and that became a problem for me. And that will never be a problem for me again. You know, I'm a type of guy, I learned my lesson when I make a mistake my first time. That's the one and only time. It was a great eye-opener for me. It just really made me realize that, you know, like, I got to train like a triathlon athlete, you know, where I can last for hours and hours on end. So it was a good eye-opener for me. You know, I got to showcase some of my skills in the first round, but after the other two, there just wasn't too much left in the tank to do a good job, you know. And then I want to apologize to Bellator. I would like to apologize to all my fans who, you know, expected me to go in there and do a really great job. And unfortunately, I didn't do that this time. But you best bet that next time it will be a completely different outcome.
Absolutely. Now, I'm not sure how – was that just a one-fight deal with Bellator, or do you got something on the horizon with Bellator? What do you got coming up?
No, I actually have a multi-fight deal with Bellator for 2 years. I'll be in Bellator for a while. And,
awesome.
You know, I really wanted to I wasn't grasping at how important this fight actually was for me. I didn't seriously – whether I just didn't take it seriously, I guess, so per se. You know, I went and traveled and was teaching seminars and doing a lot of capoeira, not really concentrating on the actual fight itself, you know, and – I thought I was just going to go in there as a guy, this guy won't handle five rounds of, you know, like, sorry, a full round with me, 5 minutes. He was not going to handle it. But unfortunately, he actually survived the first round. And, you know, and from there, it just came spiraling down for me. But definitely next time, it's not going to be like that. I have a multi-fight deal with Bellator and my poor next opponent. That's all I can say for that.
Now, talk about, and I don't want to pronounce it wrong, it's a capoeira is what you specialize in?
Yeah, capoeira.
Okay. I'm not familiar with it at all, so you kind of want to talk about it, talk about what it teaches and the discipline, I guess?
Oh, sure, no problem. Well, capoeira, it's a Brazilian martial art that was developed by the African slaves and the natives that lived in Brazil over 400 years ago. The slaves, they couldn't learn any form of self-defense. So what they did, they hid from their oppressors the aspect of the martial arts through dance. And that's why you see capoeira is actually a mix of dance, acrobatics, and martial arts put together with music, right? So when the slaves would practice their hard martial arts moves, when the slave owners came to inspect on them, they would hide it as a dance, and they would include acrobatics and play music to disguise it, right? So that's where capoeira came from. Capoeira was illegal in Brazil for a long time because usually it was only, more violent people tended to train capoeira at the time because it was to defend themselves from their oppressors. And then capoeira became a national sport of Brazil now. And you know, people practice capoeira very much like, almost like they practice soccer. Soccer is the biggest sport. Capoeira is the second largest one.
Yeah.
And I've been doing a capoeira all my life. My father's a capoeira master. He runs his own school called Axé Capoeira, and we have over 20,000 members. We're affiliated with over 30 countries. And so we kind of travel around the world teaching the art of capoeira to different people all around the world. Actually, right now I'm in Phoenix teaching a huge workshop. We're having a huge graduation ceremony here this weekend.
Yeah. Wow, man. So you spend a lot of time like outside of doing your own, you're doing your own training for your fights and stuff. You're teaching a lot, right?
Yeah, I teach a lot, and that's one of the things that I realize I kind of got to give away. It's one of those things that I like doing. I like traveling. I like teaching people. I like spreading my culture and everything. But right now, it's not time for that. I already did many years of that. It's time for me to sit down and train hard and get in the gym and do my run to make sure I don't gas out in any fight ever again, you know? I don't ever want to pull a terrible performance like I did in Bellator this time. I'm very disappointed in myself, and you best bet that will never happen. Unfortunately, it's going to result to me not traveling as much. But, you know, everything has a sacrifice, unfortunately, and that's one of the things I'm going to have to sacrifice, is sacrifice the traveling for the training, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well, I mean, that's how, you know, I have to say from now, you know, I'm not a fighter, I have no experience as a fighter, but I can say you're really hard on yourself, and it sounds like you really took that decision loss. You didn't like it, and you apologizing to your fans shows a lot to me as somebody who's a little bit newer to you. It shows that you've got a lot of respect for yourself. It sounds like you got a lot of respect for your fans and for the performance that you expect out of yourself when you step in the cage. That's something that is absolutely necessary from a fighter to have that kind of that passion. So I got to say, you really show a great passion for what you do, and it's just phenomenal to see that. So, you know, I do expect that by hearing this from you, that your next opponent will be sorry he stepped in the cage against you.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, I'm not discrediting anybody, but I've been doing martial arts since I was born. You know, my father's a capoeira master. I was around fighting. I was around training. I've been involved in fights ever since I was born, you know. So, like, the amount of talent is not the issue of missing talent. It's the issue of getting in the gym and training hard. That's why I'm so disappointed in myself, because I know based out of that fight that I can do much better than what I did, you know. And it's disappointing to know that just because I didn't go on a treadmill and run, you know, till I felt like puking for 2 months, you know, like, and would have done, that would have made a huge difference in my fight, you know. And, like, it's disappointing in myself, but, you know, it's something that I had to learn too. So it's, you know, I kind of see there's always the negatives and positives to when things happen to you. And I think this is a great eye opener for me to realize and even grow as an athlete itself. Right. I can't go do a professional mixed arts fight without properly preparing myself for it. I'm not discrediting my opponent. My opponent did a great job. He trained hard. You know, he went in there and he had the gas to last me for three rounds, you know, but, you know, I think I would have done much better if I was in really good shape, you know, and that would have made a huge difference in the outcome of this fight.
Yeah. I'm looking at your record here, and your fight against Matt Dwyer at Battlefield Fight League 15, a KO slam. Talk about that. As a fan, that's something that I have not seen that fight, but I'll be honest with you, I'm going to be looking that up almost instantaneously. It sounds phenomenal. Kind of talk about what happened there. I mean, it was 30 seconds into that fight, and you got a KO versus from
yeah, 30. Yeah, the fight with Matt Dwyer in Battlefield 15 was really intriguing. You know, I was rated, the odds were against me 2.5 to 1, and you know, he's 6'4". He's got a ridiculously long reach. He was the amateur. Top amateur in British Columbia, and you know, he's the rising prospect as a pro. When he turned pro, I fought him. He was 2-1. Now he's 3-1, and he's actually fighting for the welterweight pro welterweight belt in Battlefield right now against Ryan Chappie. But he, you know, a lot of people were discrediting me. That's why I'm so disappointed in myself, and I, you know, I apologize to the fans and to Bellator, because people always expect me to lose based on my martial arts, because it's disguised as a dance, because it has acrobatics. People don't credit capoeira as much as it really should be. You know what I mean? And I'm one of the leading representatives of this art to the MMA world. You know, and that for me, it puts a lot of weight on my shoulders. So it makes me train harder. It makes me do more and more. You know, and that's why I'm so disappointed, because I should have known better. I should have known to, you know, properly prepared for this fight. But the Matt Dwyer fight was really interesting. You know, we came in, and I was training 2 months to stay away from him and strike from the outside. And the first second of the fight, he just kicked me right in the head, and it looked like he was 12 feet away. And from there, I just had to gut instinct. I'm like, I just got to close the distance. This guy is too long. He's almost like a giraffe.
Go ahead, man. My bad.
I got in there, and, you know, like, I started closing the distance and trying to get him with some punches, you know. And we exchanged some punches. We got in the clinch. It was kind of, you know, it was like dirty boxing pretty much. We were both in a weird clinch, just punching each other. And he made the utter mistake of kicking from close range. And in our capoeira techniques, we learn a lot of catching legs. So when he gave me a roundhouse kick, I just caught his leg. And he made the huge big mistake too, on top of that, was that he tried to give me a flying triangle. And as he did that, I just grabbed him and threw his head towards the floor with a huge slam. And it's something that we do in capoeira that's very common. You know, we grab a kick and you throw the guy on the floor. It's a common technique that we use all the time. And he made that utter mistake of just trying to jump in and give me a flying triangle while I had, you know, control of his body, which is not a good thing. It's one of those other things, too. I also trained for that fight, too. I was doing lots of weightlifting, a lot of cardio. And so the strength was there. I was able to slam him hard enough that I knocked him out.
I literally just watched it. It's by far one of the sickest knockouts I've ever seen. The way you guys just both come out flying, like, that's just phenomenal intensity by both you and Matt. As soon as the bell rang, you guys came out swinging at each other. And like you said, man, you got to pick them up. That slam was awesome. You could tell he was out on that slam. And I think you give him a punch or two before you realize it. He's out cold. That's just awesome. I'm watching it again here. He's just out cold. That's awesome, man. That's Rampage should learn a thing or two from you on that slam.
Rampage's a veteran. He knows what he's doing, too. In our martial arts, it's really, really, really common to catch a leg and slam a guy. It's a very common thing that happens in capoeira itself. So, like, I've been catching legs since I was, like, you know, since I was able to stand. So it's instinctive for me, you know. Like, the training that I'm doing now is a different concept for me. I'm doing a lot more boxing, a lot of wrestling, and a lot of jiu-jitsu. You know, like, those three things that I'm kind of trying to concentrate on for now, because those are the things that I have to be at top level at, too. You know, if I'm to compete in with some of the best fighters in the world, I have to make sure that I know these other arts really well, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you fight at a welterweight, and welterweight is one of my favorite divisions. I'd say probably welterweight welterweight and middleweight are probably my two favorite weight divisions. Now, obviously, I know a lot of fighters, they don't like to do this. I'm going to ask you anyways, because I, aside from reporter, writer, I'm a huge fan of the sport, and when I get a chance to talk to a fighter, there's fan questions I want to ask. As a welterweight, and you look across the MMA world, all the promotions, there's a lot of great, great welterweight fighters out there. Is there any specific fighter that would be like a dream fight for you, maybe someday, you know, like any fighter out there that you would just want to fight kind of out of respect for the fighter?
Out of respect, you know, there's a lot of fighters that are really good. One of the guys that I would like to fight one day would be Georges St. Pierre. You know, like he's because he's a phenomenal athlete. He's like,
yes,
he's an amazing. He's somebody who goes to the gym and does his work. You can see it. You can see it visually while he fights. Like, that guy's in shape. Like, there's no way you're gonna deny that he's in shape when goes into a fight. You know what I mean? And it would be nice for me to get that type of challenge. Obviously, I'm not even close to that yet. It's something that I'm gonna get to one day. You know, like, but. It's something I believe I have a lot of arsenals that I learned in capoeira, like lots of moves that no other fighter does. It's my techniques in my style of kicking, my style of moving is second to none. There's nobody who can really move the way I move, or at least can incorporate it in a fight. And I'd like to test my type of abilities with somebody who is the best of the best, like GSP, you know, like...
Yeah.
You know, there's also other crazy. Obviously, there's much crazier fighters too. You know, Ben Graskin is the welterweight champ in Bellator, and he looks just dominant. The same thing. He's a great athlete. You know, and I like to test myself with some of the best. You know, and kind of see where I'm at and what I need to work on.
Yeah. Now, Bellator 79 was your first fight there, and you say you have a 2-year contract with them. Just off that first fight and from the experience that you've had so far with Bellator, and I'm guessing you've probably had plenty of time. You know, you've talked with Bjorn Rebney. I know he's a really hands-on great guy. I had the chance to meet him briefly. Really awesome guy. What's it been like to be associated with Bellator and having them give you a nice long contract?
You know what? It's been great, man. I can't, you know, Bellator is the most professionally organized company that I've ever fought for, that I've ever even seen. You know, I've seen the only other fight that I've seen that was just as organized was UFC when they hosted UFC in Vancouver. I kind of got an inside view of how UFC works. But Bellator, they're great, man. They're amazing. They treated me like a king, you know, the way they picked us up at the airport, the way they dropped us at the hotel. Their organization, you know, their schedules and stuff, everything's all on point. Everything's really presumed. Everything's really well done. You know, Bjorn, he's a great president. He's doing a great job with Bellator, you know, and Bellator is just on a rise. He's also signed up a lot of great stars.
Yeah.
And I just see the company going up from here. It's a great company.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very happy with them. And that's why I even wanted to apologize to them for my bad performance, because they're giving me this opportunity, this huge opportunity that for this fight I really took for granted, you know, and I feel disappointed in myself, for the fans, and for Bellator, you know, because I know I could have done much better. And you know, talk is cheap. I don't like talking too much, but I'll prove that when I go back in there, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a huge advocate for Bellator. I love them. I was at Bellator 72, got to witness it live. I do my best to watch them all live. If I can't watch them live, I'm DVRing Bellator all the time. Absolutely love them. I will look forward to seeing you on there. Before we get you out of here, just want to you know, find out where people can find you, Facebook, Twitter, any sponsors you want to give a shout-out to, man. Go ahead.
Well, I'd like to thank First God for giving me, you know, everything that I have today. You know, I'm not rich, but, you know, I live a really good life. I'm not hungry. I have a shelter. I have a house. I have family. I like to thank him first and foremost. My mom and dad for supporting me. You know, my dad for teaching me the art of capoeira. My coach, Caleb Starnes. He's a, you know, UFC vet. My brother, Marcus Vinicius. All my sponsors, Clench Mouthguard, Richmond Sports Club, Boteco Restaurant, and Aegis Athletics. And my school, Asha Capoeira, which is, you know, all around the world. I'd like to thank everybody. You can reach me on my Facebook, facebook.com/AXELELO, Asha Lelo, Ax Lelo. Or you can reach me on Twitter, twitter.com/BARRAOZINHO. Yeah, or you can check out our website too, www.axecapoeira.com. And from there, you can get in contact with me. And, yeah, check me out there. I got a whole bunch of videos. I don't just do MMA. I also do acrobatics, drumming, percussion, shows, the whole shebang, and entertainment to the max.
All right, man. Well, thanks for being with us tonight. We'll let you get back to what you're doing, man. Look forward to great things from you. Can't wait to watch your next fight. I've just actually just been sitting here watching a few of your fights, man. You're just a ferocious man. I just can't wait to see you back in the cage. So thanks for being with us tonight, man. Have a great night.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much. Thanks for the opportunity for the interview. Take care, you guys. Have a good night.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you too, man. Take it easy.
Hey, Marcus. Take care.
Yeah, man, Marcus Aurelio, everybody, Marcus Lelo Aurelio, young, great fighter. I'm, you know, before talking with him, I'm really, going to be honest, never heard of Capoeira. Just watched a couple of his fights, and I'm definitely going to do what I can to learn about Capoeira now. It sounds like an awesome art. He's just ferocious, man. That KO slam was just phenomenal. You back with me, Jason? You're doing better, man?
Yeah, about 8 minutes ago, I was feeling better. I think the better fight that he had was the I can't pronounce that guy's name, the roundhouse kicks and I was just watching it as you were talking. I was watching it. He's definitely very passionate about his dance and his martial arts. I watched the fight on Bellator this past week, and you know, I actually felt bad for the guy when I was watching it because he really felt bad.
Yeah. Well, we got about 15 minutes left on the show. We're gonna jump right in it with fellow Team Madhouse member Chris Gregory. Dude's a beast, man. There's few people I know of that are more involved than he is with just MMA. He's got so many great connections. Such a great guy. This will be my first opportunity to talk with him in person. I've learned a lot from him just through his posts on Facebook, through his work. I'm honored and definitely excited to have Chris on with us tonight, man. Chris, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I'm doing great, man. Just put the kids to sleep, ready to talk some MMA. You know, I had a great trip in Vegas. Got to check out RFA4 and the World Series of Fighting. You know, of course, RFA, you know, bought Titan, and I was supporting Titan a lot. So, you know, it's great to, you know, be on board and, you know, doing media for these guys because I got some connections in RFA and, you know, we're going to probably be breaking a lot of news for those guys at MMA Madhouse.
Awesome, man. Jump right into it, man. We'll start off with RFA4 because I believe RFA4 was on Friday night and then World Series of Fighting was Saturday. So jump right into RFA4, man. How was it? How did it go and how were the fights?
Man, the show was great. I heard a lot of people talking about how there wasn't a lot of people in the audience. Well, what happened was is that they made a section that people couldn't go. So, like, it kind of, like, they didn't fill it out, you know, but it was actually a packed house. It was a great event. From the very first fight all the way to the main event, there was great fights. Some of the fights you didn't see, man, was Corey Galloway versus Jerry Shapiro. I don't know if you guys were able to check those out. But that was a great fight. Actually, Jerry Shapiro had this dude hurt. He had him mounted probably 3 or 4 times, just didn't finish him. Well, in the second round, Corey Galloway came back, and he knocked out Jerry Shapiro. It was a great fight. And then, of course, you know, there was Sergio Pettis. You know, he's now 6-0, 135 prospect. He beat Jimmy Jones, you know, man, this kid has a lot of talent. Obviously, his big brother, Anthony Pettis, is in the UFC. I asked him if he was ready for the UFC, and he just said he wanted to take on more prospects. You know, I really respect that. Also, you had Dakota Cochran versus Derek Burnside. Dakota Cochran is a beast. This kid should definitely be in the UFC pretty soon. came out and armbarred Derek in the first round. Man, I don't know. But the most exciting fight of the night for real was James Krause versus Trinidad. Did you guys check out that fight?
I did get to see that fight.
Yeah, man. James, you know, he's 17-4. I think he's finished like 15 of his fights. And, you know, obviously from Kansas City, you know, I've been covering James for a long time. It was nice to actually be out there and see him get a win. Four-fight win streak right now. I talked to Ed Soares after the fights, and he said that this guy should definitely be in the UFC. So, you know, when Ed Soares says that, you know, and he's obviously, you know, the manager of Anderson Silva and a lot of top fighters, you know, I definitely see James Krause being in the UFC very soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, like, another top prospect, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang Andrew Kawani. This kid is like 6'4", 170 pounds. He's 9-3. He has a great Muay Thai background. I watched him fight years ago in World Combat League. Didn't think nothing of it. And then, you know, even watching his fights before, I didn't really notice who he was. And then when I got to the event, man, I had to, like, look him up again. And I remember the fights. He's just nasty. Great Muay Thai. Trains with One Kick Nick out in Vegas, you know, and that was a great fight. Also, when I was talking about James Krause, they told him that he might be fighting the winner of the main event, you know, and that was Tyson versus Efren Escandero. Tyson got the unanimous decision. Neither one of the guys really excited me very much, honestly.
Yeah.
But you know, both also, you know, have had some trouble in their career lately. So, you know, Tyson got the win. I think James Krause is honestly on another level than Tyson Griffin at the moment. But that, I mean, that would be a great fight too.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with the main event there. Neither one truly excited me all that much. I didn't see much of it. I caught the end of it, but I saw bits and pieces. I did see the Krause kick knockout, and that was awesome. Let's moving on to World Series of Fighting 1. I watched the main card. It was on TV. I got home just in time to watch it. I wasn't able to see the prelims, which was disappointing because I did really want to see Gregor Gracie, which unfortunately I believe he lost a TKO. Let's go ahead and jump on to World Series of Fighting. How was that one?
Well, the Gregor Gracie fight obviously went bad for him because Tyson Steele, man, he's nasty. This kid is nasty, and it was almost I think it was like 10 seconds left in the round, and Tyson knocked Gregor Gracie out like 3 feet in front of me.
Wow.
So, like, I mean, yeah, I was like right there in the mix. And I mean, Tyson still is just on another level right now at the moment. But honestly, like, the Black Zillions, they had a great night. You know,
they did.
Three guys fighting. They went 3-3. You know, Anthony Johnson, since going to light heavyweight, he's been on a roll, honestly. And you know, we love DJ Linderman at MMA Madhouse.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, Anthony Johnson's a really, really tough guy. And then that was a good fight up until, you know, the eye poke and then the knockout. But I mean, DJ Linderman's tough as nails.
Yeah.
And loves MMA Madhouse. So anyway, like, the Black Zillions just are on a roll right now as far as in other organizations other than the UFC. Jay-Z is Cavalcante. He got a big win on the prelims over TJ O'Brien. It was a heel hook. I thought it was a knee bar from where I was sitting, but it says it's a heel hook. He went in there quick. Jay-Z has also said that he's glad that it was an easy fight because he plans on fighting in Japan. I think it's called Shudo Tournament. It's a one-night tournament, and he's fighting, like, next week. So luckily for him, it was an easy fight. And, you know, he went in there and did it. Also on the prelims, Gerald Harris versus Josh Berkman. Gerald is one of my good friends and has supported me since the beginning. I mean, he had a tough loss here. You know, he's a comedian. He has so much things going on for him, but, you know, sometimes I think he lacks that killer instinct anymore, you know. And I can say that because he's my friend. Josh Berkman really looked good, you know. Also, another guy, Steve Carl, he came in versus Ramiko Blackman. And I think Steve Carl is like 19-3 right now. I didn't really know who he was coming into this fight. But, you know, after talking to James Krause and some of the Grindhouse guys at RFA, they told me to watch out for this guy. And he came in there and just rear naked choke, 2-11 into the first round. This guy is definitely on my radar now.
Yeah. Now,
Go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say with the Rumble Johnson's KO was great, like you said. It was suck to see the protege get KO'd. It's unfortunate. Rumble though, like you said, has been a beast as of late. I love Arlovsky, so I was loved seeing him get a TKO victory. But to me, the most impressive fighter that I saw, at least on the main card, like I said, I didn't get to see the prelims. Tyrone Spong to me just blew me away. Just phenomenal. Let me talk about him a little bit.
I was just shocked that his opponent wanted to stand with him. I was like, is this guy nuts? You know, I was like, is this guy crazy? Like, why would you even try that? Like, that's nuts. And he took it, you know. And Tyrone Spong got a walk-off knockout. I love those, you know. Like, he's so used to kickboxing that when Travis Bartlett went down,
he waited for that eight count.
So it was like, it was crazy. And, you know, he's really talented. My friend Andrew Winnie trains down there at the Black Zillions, and he says that his ground game is getting better. When I talked to Tyrone, he basically said he's not a world-class grappler, but he's glad he didn't have to go to the ground. So, you know, I mean, I don't know. Training with Rashad Evans and, you know, all the guys down there at the Black Zillions, definitely he has to be getting better at his wrestling. But these guys that stand up in front of him, they're going to get knocked out.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't stand in front of somebody like that that has over 100 wins in K1.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The king of the ring.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we got a couple minutes left here before we sign off the show for the night, but I want to talk kind of about you a little bit. You know, what's next for you? You got any fight on the horizon? You training? What's going on with you personally?
Well, I'm hoping that I'm going to fight in January. I don't know, man. You know, I'm training Gerald Harris and, you know, guys like Dallas Browning, who actually is on the other radio show that I do, the yet-to-be-named MMA show. They both told me I could come stay with them. And, you know, I'm just waiting for a fight because it's hard to get a fight in this area. There's really not too many heavyweights. And some of the heavyweights, I don't want to fight straight up. Like, there's just guys that are just swolled out. You know, I'd like to cut a lot of weight first. So that, you know, I want to know, obviously, undefeated, yeah. Nah, but for real, like, I just want to train more and learn more. And then when I get in there, I want to finish the fight. Because, you know, the guy I fought, his name is Jason Highfield. He's been talking trash about how I didn't finish him. I'd really like to get a rematch with him. But, you know, then again, I'd like to, you know, move on and fight somebody else. But, you know, if he wants some in January, you know, he could get knocked out or get submitted because, you know, I've really been working. You know, there's a lot of teams that are willing to help me out. You know, I don't just train at one gym, you know, because I don't want to be biased. You know what I mean? And this is a small community, MMA community down here. So I just like to keep it neutral between everybody. So I just train at as many gyms that will let me come train for free.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. I mean, that's the way to go. That's what helps grow the sport is people who help each other out. We're quickly running out of time. I want to thanks for being on with us tonight, man. I know it's kind of late, but appreciate it, man. Glad to have you out there. I would have loved to be out there, man. I hope you had a great time in Vegas. I was in Vegas just last year and loved it. Thanks for being on with us tonight. Like you said, you know, Chris hosts the Yet to Be Named MMA show. Check him out, MMAMadhouse.com. At Chris Gregory on Twitter, I believe. At Chris Gregory MMA. And I think we're going to run out of time here before I quit talking. So thanks for being on with us, Chris. Thanks for being on with us, Tony Johnson, Marcus Aurelio. Thanks for Joe Brown coming in with us, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
MMA Madhouse, baby.
Yeah, MMA Madhouse, BrawlBase.com, Gator MMA.
Oh, baby.